Yes, guys, what's good? You're tuned into Mango Masala, Pi Radio South Asian show. My name's Gaines. I'm here with Halima and Simran.
Hi.
You know what? I feel like we need to say this. Riverside, if you're out there, if you want to do any like collaboration, sponsorship deals, let us know using you for like over a year now, and we're happy with your services on the whole. And like, why are you making that face, Simran? I'm not going to say it's been 100% all right. Halima's mic is a bit quiet for one thing, but...
Not the customer feedback mid-episode.
It's a bit of a... You know what? I'm just trying different ways of starting out each episode, so it's not just, hey, guys.
Guys, if any brands want to sponsor us, to be honest, like...
Yeah.
We've been saying this for the longest time. I think we need to start reaching out to people.
You know, I think it's like a UK thing as well. Like, in America... You can literally get like 200 followers on your page and people will start sending you things.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we have people messaging us, but I just can't tell like what's bot. They all just seems very botty. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like...
Why? What they're saying?
But then I get that because my account's on public and it will be like, oh, we think you'd be a great ambassador for our jewellery or our swimwear.
Oh, I get that. Leggings.
That's obviously a bot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, if anyone wants us to... promote anything,
maybe I'm gonna start reaching out to people guidelines. And being like, excuse me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you two more than me probably could use it, so no
but
offense.
I'm just wait, what?
Well, because I'm the only one currently who's actually working.
Oh yeah.
I'm not trying to diss you. I'm just
called us jobless and broke.
He said you guys are jobless and broke.
He said you could do with the free products.
Right, and that's
you could
it
do
for
with the PR
episode,
package.
Guys. See you next
said
week.
Said I've seen you, and you could do with the PR package, babe.
I'm just saying, I'm happy. I obviously want to help you guys in whatever way I can. Not
oh,
that you
how
need
generous.
It,
but
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, speaking of being on... Sorry, go on.
I will say, we need to get like 50,000 followers before the time I get married. So then by then, like a DJ or like a photographer can be like, oh, offer you like a discounted rate for like content and like promo. I'll be like, hell yeah.
Right.
So hang on, let's figure this out. Let's figure this out. In three and a half years, we've hit 6,000.
We hit 4K in May. We hit 4K in May. So that's 2,000 followers we've... What are we on, 6?
4,000 divided by 3.
Oh, we're nearly on 61.
Yeah.
Hang on.
You mean...
6,100.
Yeah, I'd say we're around 6,000.
We've hit about 875 followers a year. So, 50,000 divided by 875.
Oh, but it's
so that will be 57 years to hit 50,000. That'll be 57 years to hit 50,000 minus the... 4 years we've been doing it already. So that's 53 years.
No, but you're not accounting for exponential growth, and nor are you accounting for like a, you know, the odd viral video that accelerates
that. Of course I'm not. I'm just saying at the rate that we've been going.
Oh, so I have to be
you could get married in
77
3 years. Yes.
Brilliant.
Anyway, speaking of being on holiday, Simran, how was your hen do that you went on?
Oh, it looks so cute. You were scared. How was it?
It was cute. I was not. It was nothing to be scared of. If anything, they should have been scared of me.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I know.
I actually did really well, guys. I did really well until Ocean Beach.
It is nice though. You know what I mean? Like just like yeah. It's good vibes.
I will just say like I did Ocean Beach, and then Ocean Beach did me. And I had to get taken home.
Yeah.
And I was not okay. But that was my only casualty. Other than that, I was great. And then I was asleep by 8. And then the next day, I was fresh as a daisy. So to be honest, no regrets.
For context, Halima, I don't know if you know what Ocean Beach is. It's basically this, like... pool club kind of vibe where I think
is
it's run
about
by
Wayne Lineker?
Gary Lineker, which is a whole other conversation.
Right.
A different day. But
okay,
to
I know
give
of
him
it.
Credit where it's to give him credit where it's due, it is I enjoyed it and it's just so easy to just kind of get a bit carried away because you're there in the sun, there's pools right there, like it's just all
Someone needs to study me though. My thing. What absolutely screws me over when I'm out and about is my need to have my hands busy, like my hands full. Like, because I'm not much of a dancer when I'm out. So I'm like, I just need to have something in my hand. So I was constantly getting a drink. And that is what absolutely screwed me. In the heat, hadn't had water, hadn't really eaten properly. I think I had yogurt and fruit for breakfast that day.
That's true as well, because you'll get hot and think, oh, let me drink. What's the easiest thing to drink? Having an alcoholic drink. But like, obviously that's making the situation worse.
Ocean Beach, yeah. Like, obviously I think I'd probably go back again in my life. But it is one of those things where, like, if you're not steaming drunk, you can observe the place and literally just be like, I get why people don't drink. Like, and I get why this is not people's scene. Like, you have to be so drunk to enjoy it. Like, for the period that I wasn't drunk, I was so self-conscious. I was looking around.
Really?
Everyone's
why?
Assessing you. Everyone's butt naked. Like, everyone's just walking around butt-ass naked.
I suppose I do get that, because it's like, it's not really like, I feel like with, like, say, for example, a hotel pool or something similar to that, it's kind of, people can kind of stick to their own areas. They can have their own kind of privacy. Yeah. This is very much everyone's kind of right there. I get what you mean.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The people we did speak to that weren't in our, like, hentai, so nice. Like, some of the nicest girls, like, they were honestly angels. But, like, it was just such an intense environment where I just feel like you were being assessed by other people. It was just very all up in your face. And I'd never been to anything like it, so I think I was just a bit like, whoa, like, what is this, like, place, like, that I've heard about for so many years, and now I'm actually here.
It's so funny though to hear you speak about it like that, because when me and my friends went, it was like we went there for the entire day, and then it really should have been once we finished there around 8-9 p.m. we should have gone home and called it a day.
But I don't know how people go out.
That's the thing. But because the person who had sorted it had already, like, planned out the whole holiday and had, like, paid for stuff, they were like, right, we need to go to here. And it was this really nice sushi restaurant, and then I think it was like we had to reach a certain amount on paying the bill so that we could technically get free tickets to then go and see David Guetta straight afterwards. And everyone was just sat there just like, oh my gosh, this is, I mean, I
sushi yeah, of all yeah, foods. No,
I was there just like kind of like eating everything. I was like, this is great, like sushi, like, but everyone else was just like, I need to go home. And I think maybe only like a handful of people actually made it to David Guetta, but yeah. Jesus. But Ibiza, though, that, I think, like you're saying, like, though, clearly it doesn't have to be like that.
No, and I enjoyed it so much. Like I was saying, like, I've never been before. If I was to do it, I'd probably do it very different to how we did it, in terms of, like, I want to go to specific clubs, see specific DJs, and do that whole, like, nocturnal thing. You know, when you, like, don't go to the club till, like, 2 a.m. and you go home at, like, 6. That's what I would want. That's what I want to do at one point. But, like, this was so nice. It was very wholesome. It was very daytime vibes. I had a great time. We only went for like 3 nights, 4 days. Would go back. 10 out of 10.
No. Because Halima, didn't you say you've been to Ibiza and you've had like literally the non-drinking, obviously, experience of it?
I've not been, but I know people
who have heard about it.
Yeah. Like Amaka went recently over summer, and she did the touristy sightseeing beachy thing.
There's such a like different array of things that you can do that, like, I feel like we'd somewhere in the middle, and because I went with such a big range of people, like a lot of them had kids or a lot of them are different stages of their lives, like a few of them
who really is it like is it your fitness. Friend
no, it's my cousin who's getting married next month.
Her friends
yeah,
very nice. Well, obviously it is beginning of September, and I'm not going to speak too much about a certain person's birthday, because we did kind of speak about that last week. But on a different side of things, obviously this point of year, really for a lot of people, kind of, who was that? For this point of year, for a lot of people, kind of, is very much back to school season. Sorry, I don't know what
you're right.
This time of year for a lot of people is back to school season. I think it's kind of been instilled in us from a younger age to basically treat September as like, okay, back to school, back to uni, that kind of vibes. Obviously, we're all elderly now, and we're not in education at the moment.
You can call me elderly in 5 weeks. You can't call me elderly yet.
but some of us are elderly now. My point is, we're not in education anymore. So I wanted us to get all a bit kind of nostalgia-y and ask you, what are the things that you miss the most about this time of year when we were back in school? And what are the things that you are so glad that we're rid of now?
School uniforms, I'm so glad they're gone.
Can I be honest with you guys? I don't have an opinion about school. I feel like I just don't take school seriously. So I had no reason to hate it.
That is interesting. I get what you mean.
That's it.
I do agree. I feel like my main thing is, like, I really miss just seeing your friends every single day without having to link up. Because you know how hard it is now to find dates where everyone's free to see everyone. You would just show up and everyone would be there.
I have always been very unserious. So school for me has, even uni, even when I was doing my master's, has always just been a social event. I was going to school, I was going uni to just hang out. So I do miss that aspect of things. And, like, I miss that stage of life in general, like that age where you're just chilling. Like, every day you're just chilling. You don't know anything. You got no responsibility on your shoulders. Like, you're just, do you know what I mean? You're just chilling, you're just here.
That's what I mean. Like, I just didn't know anything about anything, and I love that.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's why I feel like, for me personally, my favorite time of school was final year, like year 13, because it was that point where we were grown up enough to be like doing adulty things, but and like I didn't start dating my anchor until between first and second year, or like somewhere between first and second year. But that year 13, I look back with such fond memories, personally, because I was privileged enough to actually have a car as well, so that was really nice to be able to drive around. But it was also just that kind of freedom that you had, like, as like a 17/18 year old, where you could kind of go and do this and that. I could drive to where I wanted. I was like drinking on occasion as well, like kind of getting to grips with like that, starting going out clubbing, that kind of thing, and just like doing all these things that are kind of like entering adulthood, whilst not having any of the kind of responsibility that actually comes with it. And I know a lot of people feel like uni is like that, but for me, that year 13 was so good just because I felt like you had like proper like security, but also we just
it just vibes in it.
It was,
it is literally vibes. Just vibes.
Yeah,
I will say though, like, because you guys probably have a slightly different experience, but I don't actually think you guys have that much of a different experience. But like coming into like, because COVID was my second year of uni, so when it was time for me to get a job, I was pretty much all remote. Like, it was all like remote hybrid working. So low-key, like, now being an adult is better because you can do this work from home thing, whereas school was 5 days in, like waking up at like 7 to then get up.
But I feel like at that age, you don't know any better. You don't have any better.
Forget school. How do people get on the London Underground packed in like sardines for an hour and then to go sit in an office? That would...
Honestly, like, I remember during like summer between first and second year, I went and did some work experience in London, and I stayed with family friends in Essex, near Southend. And obviously, like, one of the sisters, I think at the time, she was probably in like her late 20s, she was working in London but was living at home in like near Southend, and she would literally go to bed so early because she'd have to wake up, get the train into central London, like spend like basically 2 hours getting in on public transport, do all that, and like 5 days a week. Like, it
so
really
I don't
is
understand, like you wake up at like 6, you don't come home until 6. And then by the time you've either done exercise, either cooked dinner, spoken to someone, done anything, cleaned up, I don't know, done anything for yourself, it's time to go to bed again.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anyone did that week in, week out. Like, this whole hybrid working thing is...
Yeah.
It's the best thing that came out of COVID.
It is, I would agree. Obviously not to, what's it called, trivialise everything that happened, but I agree that it is a positive thing that has come out of that period.
But I wrote my dissertation on this at uni, and it was basically, the main thing was how everyone was so thankful that they had the opportunity to have this flexibility, and like the full-on hybrid thing, like during the peak of the pandemic, caused people a lot of stress because of isolation and just general the fear-mongering of the news and stuff like that. People were scared. But then this kind of half in, half out thing of like a few days a week here and there works so much better for people. And I love that. But that's why I mean, like school, like that was like 5 days and that was gross.
But yeah.
But then I feel like, I've always said this, like what I miss about school and uni is how guided everything is. Like someone is always there to tell you what to do. You either got a deadline to stick to, you know how many words you need to write, you know what the words need to basically be. Like it's, everything is kind of given to you and told, you're just told to do it and you just get it done. And like there's a lot of resources and advice. Whereas like obviously now you really don't have that, you're out for yourself.
Yeah.
You are young.
No, but me and Halima had this discussion last week when we were kind of like deeping it, and we're like, actually, I'd say in the next 5 years, it's gonna hit us that actually we're not like. And I was thinking about this the other day because of our conversation, and I was like thinking, oh, it's 2024. I was born in 1996. That was actually like a long time ago. Maybe I am getting like, maybe I'm an adult now if it hasn't already kicked in. So.
No, I'm not an adult. Never will be, I don't think. I just can't. I haven't looked at anyone like an adult for a long time. You know when you were young and anyone older than you was an adult?
Yeah, no, it is
as
weird.
You get older, you realise that no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah, especially
true,
I think
it's like you'll never be young. It's like what we were discussing last week is that we don't know what it is to not be young. Like you don't actually, when you're a kid and all you know is just, or even just when you're a young adult and all you know is just being young, you only know the world from the perspective of being a young person. You never really deep the fact that you're gonna be middle-aged, you're gonna be elderly. Do you know what I mean? But like it's like happening.
Being like getting in your head about it and deeping it is so like futile because it's the one thing you literally can't stop.
No, it's yeah. not. It's yeah. not. Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's not to stop it. It's not to stop it. It's just when you hit your late 20s, you'll have the feeling.
Oh yeah,
trust
I know.
Me.
I'm still really upset about being 25, and I know you guys are gonna roll your eyes and shout at me, but I am. And like, but like, my knees hurt.
That's when
my
it started
didn't
for
hurt
me.
This way
That's
a few years ago. Like,
oh, trust me. The old, like, I know there's only a few years difference, but I feel like your life and your perspective on life and age changes so much in your late 20s. Like, from 25 to 26, 26 to 27, and now 27 to 28. Truthfully,
being in your 20s is a war zone. Nobody
it
talks
is.
About the second puberty
it
you
is.
Go through in your 20s. Like, it is literally, oh my God, I can't deal with like the constant battle between like grind now, make money, settle down early, and then being like, no, enjoy your youth, go traveling, spend the money, who cares, YOLO. I literally can't deal with it.
Yeah. I think it's so annoying actually when people tell you to kind of do this and do that, like
one or the
like
other.
I think for yeah no or like the people are telling you, oh, make sure you make the most of this, or it's the same as when you're working and people are like, oh, make sure you give yourself a break, make sure you do this, do that. And I'm just like, okay, thank you for telling me that, but first of all, like, I already know that. And it's like, it's a case of it's not that easy, like, to just be black and white and just take a break. Like, it's the actual work itself that's the problem, just like it's the actual life that is the problem. Like,
but I feel like your 20s is just like a time for just figuring out what the hell is going on and just trying to be an adult for the first time. And there's so many extra additional stresses that didn't exist a few decades ago that we are up to contend with, right? And it's just, it's hard. It's really hard.
It is really hard because it's like, it's up to you now to build a life that you want. It's not like when you're in school and like people
yeah.
will tell you what lesson to go to,
that's
what coursework
I mean.
To do.
That's what I mean.
It's like, it's exactly the life that you want. You have to be the, like, you know what? I met up with one of my friends that she's my age a few months ago. Like, she'd come for like, we'd gone for like a brunch, and she came and she was like quite stressed. She was having a hard time. Her phone had just got stolen. She was having problems in a relationship. She just started a new job, which wasn't going that well. And she sat there and she just kind of obviously gotten overwhelmed. She started crying and she's like, I hate being an adult. Like, you have to make your own choices, and then you have to live with the consequences of your choices, and then you have to go home and hoover your house. Like, girl, yeah. I know that's the scary thing. It's like, it's exciting because it's like your life could be anything that you want, but then it's scary because it's like you have to do that for yourself.
But it's like, I just feel so torn between like doing one thing and then doing the complete opposite thing, and just like
it's being a balancing YOLO act. Your 20s is a balancing act. Yeah, I feel the same. Like, your entire 20s is such a balancing act, because you know what's really difficult, and I think especially in your mid to late 20s, it's that there are so many divergent versions of what it is to be mid to late 20s. Like, there are people I know that are married, have a mortgage, are on their second, third child, and there's people that I know that have never been in a relationship, are traveling the world, doing their own thing. And both of those experiences are equally valid experiences of being in your 20s, but they're so different. And it's like, okay, but it's also, where do I go? Which one do I choose?
And I feel like it's very hard to have one and not look at the other and think, what if? You always kind of want what you don't have, sort of thing. Like, if you
that's what I mean. It's such,
you look at someone traveling and you're like, oh, but I wish I could be that free and, you know, just book the flight and take the plunge. Or if you're over there, you're looking at someone making X amount of money in like a bank and you're thinking like, damn, they're so secure and set up and stuff. Like, you're never going to be pleased. And I think like social media plays a huge part in kind of facilitating that comparison. And I'm a strong believer of like, comparison is literally the thief of joy. But like, we're told to compare ourselves to one another, and nothing is ever like right. Like I said, like the grass is always greener sort of thing. It's hard, man.
Yeah, you have to just do what's right for you, and remember that everyone runs their own race, and there's a time for everything. And ultimately, like, you gotta prioritize, but you don't have to miss out entirely on different experiences to choices that you've made. There's a time for everything. That's how I just see it. Yeah.
But I will say, like, one thing that I think us three share in common is like, we all kind of dislike the corporate kind of 9-to-5 structure of like, I can't deal with like circling back and let's join this meeting to talk about a whole load of nothing for 45 minutes. Like, I could not deal with the play pretend of like just caring about something that, now that I'm out of a job, that what I was doing didn't make any difference to the world. It did not keep the world spinning. Do you know what I mean?
100%, 100%, 100%.
Didn't change anything.
I struggle with that so much. Like, I couldn't, I realized about
like,
myself.
Like, I at least want to change lives or make art. Something that affects something else. Not just corporate buzzwords.
Yeah. I really hate the corporate world so much.
Yeah.
I realize that because I'm like neurodivergent, I'm very, like, purpose driven, and I realized that I can't do something unless I genuinely am passionate about it. Like, if you lot saw me on my job, you would laugh. Like, there were days where I could talk about it now because I'm not in it, but like, there were days where I wasn't logging on. I just was not logging on. And you know, like that phrase, like, you couldn't pay me to do it. Like, they were paying me and I still wasn't doing it.
That's what I said.
Like,
I said that towards the end as well, because I was just,
no, mine was the whole way through. It wasn't just the end. It wasn't the end. It was the whole way through. The entire way through. Like, and I realized I can't. Screen.
Yeah. I was like looking at my screen and just being like, I do not care about this.
Yeah, that's me from the beginning.
You're paying me money and I still am not motivated to complete this task.
I think there's something to be said as well for the fact that you could actually get away with not doing anything for a day and no one actually pulling you up on it.
But that's what I mean. There are so many like kind of empty jobs that like obviously pay you a lot of money, and I think for a lot of people, honestly, fantastic if you can, you know, sit through that, good for you, and like make your coin go, like get the bag. Do you know what I mean? But there are so many jobs where you just do a whole load of nothing, and sitting in front of your screen from 9 to 5 gets you that money, and you get to do the meaningless tasks and whatever. Like, cool, works for you, great. But I couldn't do it. I physically just, I was like brain dead towards the end of it.
Mine was the kind of job that like you get what you put out, and like for some people it was a really meaningful job because they worked really hard and it was rewarding for them in XYZ ways. But for me, like, I didn't put anything in it because I could not see the benefit of me sitting here and making this PowerPoint. Like, how in the long run, in the bigger picture, like, who is this gonna benefit? Yeah. I don't care about it, and therefore I can't do it. You know, so I think that's another thing about being in your 20s, is like purpose. It's like finding your purpose and finding how to live in your purpose, how to step into your purpose, especially in a capitalist structure where sometimes purpose and passion don't necessarily equate to a living. That's another really hard balance to try and strike, I think.
It's not like when our parents were young and you could buy a house for so much less and like you didn't need to save up as much and saving was a lot easier and stuff like that. Like, it's so much harder now because the reality is you need money to survive. And if you want to own a house and do all that rest of it, you need to obviously have good savings and whatever.
I saw a tweet the other day. Some guy was like, oh, in the 90s, my dad was earning like 20K. Yeah. Or like 70s, 80s, whatever. He was earning like 20K and he had a whole secret family that he was providing for.
Yeah.
You know what it is? I think the thing that represents this quite well is, you know, The Simpsons. Even if you haven't like watched it, you know the basic premise is that it revolves around this like kind of like standard American family, whatever, and their house is like actually like it's like a standard detached American house, but it's actually like quite nice, and obviously that has been running for like since 1989, so it's like 35 years old basically, and obviously the artwork has stayed the same and everything, and I've noticed over the past 10-15 years so many people making the memes where they're like, so you're telling me that a single income family is able to afford this house and XYZ, and when I first saw that I was like, yeah, oh, that's so funny, that's so unrealistic. But now that I think about it, I think it is actually, because obviously it started back then. Yeah. That actually wasn't that unrealistic, like, for someone to be able to do that.
That's why, you know what? That's why, like, the boomers and my dad's generation piss me off. They're like, they think it's so easy. And I'm like, you lot did all of that. Like, you had different struggles, fair enough. They had different struggles, fair enough. But, like, we have different struggles. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not as easy. Like, back in them days, like, you'd walk into the bank and just be like, can I have a loan? And they'll just flip and give it to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't flip and do that anymore.
Mad. But, like, I find that, like, this is going to turn into therapy now. But I feel like
is it not already?
I'm, like, unlearning a lot of stuff that I believed over the past, like, 5, 6, 7 years. Like, just, like, things about what I was supposed to, like, what my 20s were supposed to look like. And I realised that quite harshly that it looks different for everyone. Whereas you think it's going to go one way and you're going to be like everyone else and, like, for example, like, you could do the corporate thing and just get on with it like everybody else does. I mean, that was a big thing for me because when I started hating working, then I was like, but all my friends can do it. Like, why can't I just do it? Like, I just need to get on with it. But then I was like, I can't just get on with it. I literally will do this for 10 years. I'll look back on it and be absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? You're actually just... What I think the biggest lesson I've learned probably in the last year is that you can care about what other people's opinions or what people are going to think of you, but it's actually your life at the end of the day. Like, you're only living for yourself and you have to make yourself happy.
Very well said.
Now I'm depressed.
Right,
circling
back to what this conversation started out about, which...
I'm in school now. Yeah. Now I'm depressed and now I miss school. Thanks, Carlos.
I was intending for this to be like, oh, this and that. So let's go back to what Simran said first before we went into the existential crisis.
Oh, can I say one thing I hella miss?
Right, go on.
My brain was so full and juicy back then. Chemistry, history, geography, English, science, art, drama, PE, socializing. What the hell? I don't know anything about anything anymore.
Like, knowledge-based, you mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't even really remember, like, what I learned in my degree, to be honest with you. And I feel like degrees are so, like, you learn, you regurgitate, you forget it. You learn your module.
I thought that was the
opposite.
For
the exam,
thought,
and then you let it
like,
go.
I feel like GCSE and A levels were like very formulaic in that way. I thought degree felt a bit different to me.
Oh, mine was the opposite. I feel like I really understood what I was learning in school, and I made an effort to understand it. And then, like, but like the way that you would know so much about so many different things.
But circling back at the start, you mentioned
about circling back.
What do we go?
You're triggering her.
Anyway, going back to what we were speaking about at the beginning, Simran, you said school uniform, and I think there's an interesting debate to be had there, because I...
Do you know what? It's just because my personal school uniform was butt ugly. No, it was horrible.
I really, like, hated the idea of school uniform, and we've spoken, me and Halima, definitely before, about how... the whole idea of having to dress a certain way, it's like, what does it have to do with your education and whatever? I do think they're a good thing. Yeah, well,
yeah,
the,
yeah, I think it's a good thing.
This is the thing, like, I hated it, and I would have preferred to wear my own clothes, but I get the arguments why it's people advocate for it, because it's like, creates like, that literal uniform way of dressing that
it's an equalizer. It's an equalizer.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But then I think, like, there's also a certain level of self-expression that I think kids should be able to have as well.
Why am I getting detention every week for a nose ring?
Which is dulled down by the concept of uniform and uniform rules that I feel like a lot of schools very strictly enforce. Yeah. Like, in my school, they used to walk around with makeup wipes. And I'd be like, no, like, I want to wear this pink cut crease at 7 a.m, thank you.
Yeah. yeah I think there's limits. Like, sometimes they take it too far, like your socks are the wrong color, like get a grip,
or like nail polish. I'm like, I've got like little itty bitty nails and they're just like a little bit of pink, like come on.
Yeah.
I think
it's not
also,
like, I've got, had huge acrylics on.
I think the way that you wear your uniform as well, like, I'd never understood what the difference is between me having my top button done or done up. I think I get the idea of having, like, a uniform way of dressing, but then I feel like just let people do whatever they want with it, as long as it's not, like, unhygienic or offensive, then what's the problem?
Yeah, but also I will say, and like, in theory I feel like schools can have these rules about uniform, but in practice it's so different, and they are very, like, at least my school was very one rule for one person and another rule for another person. Like, oh, some really? People like were allowed to have heavier makeup or dyed hair or unnatural colors in their hair or I don't know, nail polish and stuff, and then other kids just weren't allowed to have any of that, and I was just like, well, you can't really enforce it like that.
Right, anything else people miss? I know, Halima, maybe you won't get this because you weren't taking it seriously. I miss how at the start of each year, it was always kind of like new stationery. And it would only last for like a couple of weeks, this kind of, oh yeah, I'm going to be organized, I'm going to do this, that, the other, like, yeah. And then you just fade away, like, after a couple of weeks.
I miss just being naughty. I was so naughty in school. I miss being naughty. I miss having fun.
You know, I wish I could go back in time and, like, live life again and just be naughty and see what happens. Like, and then... I'd more like to go back and, like, live life, but then be able to return to right now, if that makes sense. Like, just to go back and just, like, mess around.
There's a few teachers I wish I could just say, speak my mind to. And I spoke my mind to them back then, but that was only what I was capable of back then. If I could go back now.
Yeah, and actually be eloquent with it and be like, this.
I don't know if eloquent would be how I would do it, to be honest.
No, but just, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I just mean, I miss being like an unruly child. But to be fair, I still kind of am. But
I would describe it as an unruly child.
I think a lot of people would. My last week, there was a few days where like my ADHD was really bad. Like, I was really hyperactive and I was just like annoying everyone. And my sister literally was like, she had to bargain with me to like calm down. She was like, I won't do any favors for you if you don't take your pills. Good times.
Good times.
Good times. Oh, just sorry, last point. About just how so many teachers were on absolute like power trips and just had like control problems and just they were just something else, honestly.
Yeah, this is the thing that really irks me when I look back about things, and I really wish I could go back and be literally like, what a sad little life, Jane. Literally, like
my sixth form, me and my friends, so a lot of my friends now are my friends from school, and we all went to sixth form together in the same school, and we genuinely, and I like this isn't even an exaggeration, we have like collective trauma from our sixth form. It was the most toxic environment forever. We are literally so scarred from it that it literally affects us, like, still deep into our adult life, like, way beyond school, that we just have certain, like, mindsets about things, and it's just so messed up. And I just think, like, the teachers that enforce such arbitrary, meaningless, had no impact statements, and just, like, really, really went for their life on them. What a sad little life, Jane.
I never had any problems with teachers.
That's nice. That's so great. That's so great.
I bet they had problems with you, though.
No, I was, you know what I was? I was, like, the lovable rogue student. Like, I was, like, really naughty.
Halima's been to 11 teachers, Arif.
Like, what's that? Is that, am I showing my age now? What is that?
No, I said, you know when someone goes to Tenerife, then you've been to 11 Arif.
I literally have never heard that joke before, but yeah, I have. Whatever that means.
I was laughing along, like, oh, let me wait till I hear the punchline, and then I'll ask whether I want to be in on this joke or not. I've decided I don't want to be in on this joke.
Carlos isn't understanding me anymore, and I do think you guys' age is showing.
No, you don't understand. Apparently, on TikTok, there's this trend, like, unk, like, reaching unk status.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of that? Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. You know, I'm at a stage
means
where
you're old.
So my sisters always say that to me. You know, I'm at an age where I have to ask people to, like, explain jokes to me, like, or, like, slang words. I never thought that would happen.
I saw Baby Gronk looks maxing in Ohio and nearly lost my mewing streak.
What?
That's giving me a brain hemorrhage.
That makes me feel sick. I want to throw up.
What the fuck does that mean?
Right,
I've been spending time with my 11-year-old cousins.
See, I'd have a harder time, like, deciphering that than a Shakespearean sonnet, truthfully.
I look at them and I'm like, skibbity toilet riz, and they're like, shut up.
You know what the best thing at the moment is? It's the trend of, like, I think Curry started it, or that theirs has gone the most viral, and it's like, we let Gen Z write our marketing script, and it's basically them doing a tour of the workplace but using Gen Z language.
Yeah, the local Slough sexual health clinic jumped on that trend. I watched it.
Goodness sake.
Why'd you follow them?
They just came on my For You page. I was like, pin there.
Interesting.
What? Indeed. You're not advocating for looking after your health?
No, you should, actually. I support that. Anyways, yeah, I was the lovable rogue in school. Even though I was really naughty, all the teachers loved me.
Oh.
What?
I got my first solo victory royale on Fortnite the other day.
Cool, I don't know what none of that means.
Right. I'm gonna end this because I'm actually a bit done and I don't have the brain capacity to deal with this Gen Z nonsense anymore. So my final question before we round things off is, you might not have cared that much about school, you might be nostalgic, you might be not, but looking back, what was your favorite and least favorite subject?
Okay, I liked all my lessons because I was just having fun all the time. Probably my favorite lessons were, like, science, because it was with, like, all my friends and, like, we'd just be messing around. But yeah. My favorite subject to do was probably English. That's not a surprise to anyone. My least favorite might have been, like, I would say PE, but also in PE, like, I never did it. Like, I just had fun. Like, I would just be chasing people. That's what I did in PE. I would just, like, chased people.
I was saying this to someone the other day, actually. My favorite was geography. Love geography.
Oh, really?
I think as well, because I did geography
the lesson
for
of the
level,
subject
right? both because in especially in geography A level, the teachers had like we had a very like mutual understanding that like we would all do the work in our time and then we'd come to class and discuss it, so our classes wouldn't be much learning. It would just be like a very open forum to discuss, and obviously like geography isn't just like, oh, the capital of this country is this. Like, it's more like, oh, like the land and the soil type and the rocks. And that's the physical side. And the human side is like population density. Why are things like this and migration and colonialism, stuff like that, right? So some of the debates got like very heated and very like intense. And for like, I think for like 16 to 18 year olds, you need that. Like, you need that kind of stimulation. And it definitely taught us like how to hold our own in like a debate and stuff. And honestly, it was honestly such a blast. Like, it was great. And then my least favorite, probably French. Hated French. Never understood that language. And chemistry, I was absolutely traumatic.
I would agree with you on the chemistry front. That was my least favorite. Well, I actually didn't even do physics GCSE. So I don't know whether that would be my least favorite if I'd had to do that. But chemistry for me, I think also because I actually cared about understanding it, that I just didn't understand it, so I just hated it because I just didn't fit with me.
In like normal school, I loved science, like for the reasons that Halima said, like just f***ing about and just literally just having time of your life. And then I did chemistry at A level, and that kicked my ass.
I did chemistry A level as well, and I didn't open my book till April, and the exam was in like May or June. I would literally, wallahi, hand on my heart, I would walk, this is at A level, I would walk into the class and I would say to the teacher, I don't want to do any work today, don't talk to me. And then I'll just sit there and not do the work. Good times.
What did you end up getting?
A B.
Not bad considering.
Yeah, I mean, I did it all in 1 month by myself, but I didn't like the subject.
Yeah. And my favourite subject, to no one's surprise, is music, just because I was really good at it.
What was your instrument? Aww.
I play the cornet. It's like a trumpet. Now I've got a flugelhorn.
Wait, I want to Google it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I've seen the flugelhorn.
The cornet is the curly one, isn't it?
No, that's French.
Oh, it looks a bit like...
It looks like a trumpet, basically.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the cornet is basically like a trumpet. The flugelhorn's a bit more interesting.
Which one's the curly
cornet
one?
Cornet has a continuously conical bore, which provides a warmer sound.
A more mellow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you really want to learn it.
Even more,
we have like a band.
Yeah, like
the school band.
Yeah, all the different school bands and that. Yeah.
Oh, did you do any performances?
Yeah.
I performed at the Royal Albert Hall once in my primary school. I was in the choir.
Oh.
What was that? Like Young Voices.
I don't know. There's bare people there.
Yeah.
I really want to learn an instrument going into 28. Guys,
this time last year, I really wanted to learn the drums. I was literally looking up like drum tutors.
Yeah, you said
London.
It.
I think I'd be really good.
Why are you doing now?
Yeah,
you've got
you?
The time.
DJs.
Do both.
Do both.
I can't pick a talent.
Why don't you become a drum DJ?
That would be sick. I thought that actually crossed my mind.
Speaking of DJs, have you listened to Fredigan's album yet?
He dropped an album?
Today, yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't. I have seen he's been very active on social media, so that's probably why.
It's called 10 Days, and apparently there's 10 songs that are all about a different day.
Okay, Craig David.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've just seen it. Have you listened to it? Is it good?
No, I just saw Radio 1 posted about it.
Oh, Sampa's on it. That means it's going to be good. That's all I needed to see.
You know what my favourite thing that to learn was when we were speaking to Druver for the first time when they were doing the sessions at Reform for Dalden, and he broke the news to me that Subtract is South Asian. I had no idea. I think he's going to be at the after party, actually.
He is. I just saw it on social media.
Very exciting.
Guys, see you at Dalden. Hopefully, if you listen to this right now, I will also be there right now.
Yeah. But anyway... That rounds off today's episode. Thank you so much to everyone that has tuned in and listened to us. What was meant to be a nice nostalgic episode about school turned into inevitably therapy session. This
that.
Is Halima's last episode for a couple of weeks. So
my last episode
of have
a
nice break.
Year old.
When are you back?
October.
Slay, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.